This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Third period, guys. Pretty entertaining period. Boston gets a 3-1 lead, which, by the way, I was baffled how there wasn't a delayed penalty on this. Like, even though Greer scored, like, the whoever it was, like, their stick was clearly in his hands to the point where it's like he had to let go of his stick, and Greer you know, makes a great snapshot top right corner with the stick still in, like, in his body. So I don't even know how the refs didn't have their arm up for a delayed call, but nonetheless, AJ Greer gives the Bruins a 3-1 lead, drops the gloves with Wayne Simmonds right after that on the ensuing faceoff, which dates back to the last game when there was that scuffle between periods. But I guess this is a good opportunity to bring up AJ Greer's effort tonight, along with Jacob Lauko, who found his way into the lineup, like Bridget mentioned, I think she said early November. So the Bruins' fourth line, whatever the combination was tonight, they provided energy. I think it changed a couple of times, but, you know, you're missing Thomas Nosek. And I know there was speculation maybe about this kind of being maybe a trial stint for Lauko with the trade deadline approaching. I don't know if there's validity to that, but what did you guys make of that combination of Greer and Lauko? And they were with Frederick at times, and other times probably like Foligno. I don't really know, but they had a good game tonight.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, with Lauko, it's interesting, like, because there had been those rumors that, you know, he might want to change or whatever somewhere he's going to get more opportunity. But then, like, now, you know, I realize guys can say one thing in public and nothing behind closed doors. But I talked to Lauko on Tuesday after Bruins practice. And, you know, he didn't sound like someone who was looking for that. Like, you know, he said, like, he was up here longer than he expected the first time. And he was grateful for that opportunity. And, like, he was grateful to be back. Like, he was saying all the right things. He didn't sound like someone who was disappointed. Like, he admitted, like, it was tough when he first went back down to Providence. It took him a while to get to his game, but he said he feels like he's been playing better recently and, you know, was in a good place and hoping for another shot. So he didn't strike me as someone who's, like, disappointed with the way the season's going or, you know, the opportunity he's getting. But we'll see. You know, I don't know how much. To me, that would almost just be more, like, if they traded Lauko, I feel like it would almost be more of, like, just helping a guy get a change of scenery, because I don't really know how much value he has, to be completely honest. Like, not even just, like, a knock against him, but he's not a super young prospect. I don't know, like, how much upside he has in terms of being more than what he's shown in the NHL so far, which is he can be a really solid fourth liner, and maybe he has third line upside at some point. But, like, you know, those players are nice to have, but they're not really valuable trade chips. Like, teams can find those guys in a lot of places. So, so I don't know about that. Like, could he be thrown into a trade if he really is looking for some sort of change? Sure, but he's not going to be, like, this one of the centerpieces of, like, a big trade or anything.
No, definitely not a centerpiece of any trade. But at the same time, I feel like the Bruins aren't really looking to, like, decrease their depth on the fourth line. You know what I mean? Like, it almost right. feels like they would like to know that he's there for a deep playoff run if needed. So it doesn't make sense to me that they would move him at all, really. But to the point about him, you know, how he fits in to the team right now, and where he played on the fourth line, how they look together with Foligno and Greer. I thought he provided more than McLaughlin did in his time up. I thought that he looked like a better fit there. Now, and we talked about how Kopanen was more of like a one-for-one guy for Nosek, but obviously they changed things up with the fourth line when they bring in Lauko. Totally different style of player than Nosek. Much more like hard-nosed, tougher kind of guy. So I thought he fit in well on that line. And you see that assist he got on the Greer play wasn't the only good play he had either. So in his time, he's made the most of it, which is all, what you can ask for. And he's been rewarded for it. So I don't understand, and I don't know if it's true or not, but to me, there would be no reason for him to want out at this point on a cup contending team that you might get time playing in the playoffs. And like, it has not been unfair to you that you're out of the lineup in this roster. Like, you, when you've earned your time, you've gotten it. That's kind of all you can ask as a fourth liner and as a guy who's trying to crack the NHL. So I'm sure everybody wants to play, you know, every game, but sometimes that's just, you're not going to get the easy way. Sometimes people look for the easy way out. I think he's somebody who's worked hard enough that, and understands that he wouldn't really want the easy way out anyway. So that's just how I feel about him. I thought he had a good game. I thought it was nice that over the road trip, they were able to call up three different guys, and finally we get to analyze a little bit of difference in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to be part of the regular lineup. So it's not, you know, it's not damning the player if that's how he feels too. But the fact of the matter is, this team's on a historic pace to start the year, and it's just like you said, it's not one of those situations where it's easy to enter the lineup when that's what's going on in front of you. Before we move on to the star of the third period, did you guys have any thoughts on AJ Greer dropping the gloves after that goal? Scott, I think I saw you tweet. You may have thought it was ill-timed, and he may have been, you know, a little bit outside of his weight class in that fight.
Yeah, for sure. Being a bit outside his weight class, Wayne Simmonds obviously been a very good fighter his entire career.
And was much bigger.
Yeah, I just thought that the timing was like, in a vacuum, I would say that was not good timing on Greer's part. You just went up 3-1. The only team that can, your team has momentum. The only team that can get momentum from a fight is Toronto in that case. So I didn't love the timing, but I also understand that there was obviously carryover there from the last game, like, right? Like, Simmonds and Foligno fought, and then at the end of the second period, there was a shouting match between Greer and Simmonds. Like, everyone's kind of standing around, not leaving the ice. So obviously there was something there. And, you know, I think I'm assuming it's Simmonds who proposed the fight, or, you know, probably said something like, "Hey, now's your chance," or whatever. And I don't know, maybe Greer, you know, feels like he doesn't want to back down or something. But just, again, just from a timing perspective, like, the Bruins didn't need momentum, so they weren't the ones who needed a fight there.
And I feel like if you asked him after whether or not he made the right decision, he'd probably tell you no. Especially the outcome of it was, I thought he might have gotten a concussion, and he took, like, the first shot, like, hard. And he ended up like having to turn his head, and he just took a bunch of punches in the back of the head. And then at that point, like, I felt like he wanted to go down to the ice and just was like, "I'm going to go down right now because I'm getting my ass kicked." And he's a good fighter, but sometimes you get hit with the first punch and you can't recover. So, he got pulled out of the box while he was serving the fighting major by a spotter to get double checked for a concussion. He came back a few minutes later, finished out the rest of the third, like, last 10 minutes of the game. But you, I think, maybe just are on an adrenaline rush. You're like, "I just scored, it's great." And then you hop in there, and we know what his, like, MO is. He's kind of more of an old school type player, and that's the kind of thing he can bring. And I guess maybe the thought on the momentum thing would just be like, "All right, well, I just scored. And if I, you know, fight and win this fight, maybe it's just, we're just going to step on their throat," kind of situation.
Yeah, to that point, and Scott kind of hit it too. From a momentum standpoint, was the smartest thing. Yeah, I guess not really, because like Scott said, it's really, unless AJ Greer kind of clearly got the upper hand in the fight, the momentum really just kind of goes to Toronto there. Now, I will say, I definitely think Boston, to a man, they're going to be like, well, no, let's make sure we finish this out, because you know, Greer just took a few licks there. So I don't know. I mean, I do think the Bruins, they did pep up, or they stayed pepped up, but that was a nerve-wracking fight to watch, because it was one of those fights where Greer's kind of he's not the most technical fighter. He kind of just, he fights on emotion. And it was one of those fights where I could have seen him, like, he put his head to the side to kind of alleviate some of the damage from some of those shots. And then it's like, he tried to get one at the end. And that's one of those situations where sometimes you see a guy lean into a hook, and it can end pretty badly. So I'm just glad he was okay. Cause Simmons is a, you know, really experienced fighter, and, but you can't question Greer's courage. So, I mean, stick taps for him on that. And that's something that he's provided for this team all year when he's been in. So good on him. The timing wasn't the greatest, but like, I'm never going to damn a player for dropping the gloves. I mean, that's a good teammate there. So, as the game goes on again, Toronto makes it 3-2, and then the Bruins respond 4-4 after Toronto scored. Again, back to the bunting stuff. It's like, your team just scores to make it 3-2, but you can't help yourself. You have to get into it with Coyle behind the net, and it turns into a 4-4 situation. And the Bruins are the best 4-4 team in the league statistically. And tonight was no different. They go out there, and right after Toronto makes it 3-2, Pavel Zacha, Krejci, who else is on defense with them? McAvoy was out there, and maybe Lindholm. I don't really
remember. I think it was Grizzlick.
Grizzlick, okay. So, I mean, puck possession out the wazoo. I mean, they controlled the puck the entire time, and Zacha almost scored before he did score. He had two rushes to the net, but Zaka's goal was the puck retrieval behind the net before he even got it up to the blue line. And then when he got the puck back at the blue line, that cutback move to his forehand, elite skating, elite edge work, and then he just rips a snapshot top under the crossbar down. And he's played 9 games for Boston since signing that extension. He has 10 points. He has 6 goals and 4 assists. And after tonight, he has, because he got 2 goals tonight, he's played 51 games this year. He has 35 points, 11 goals, 24 assists, 35 points. That's good for 5th on the Bruins in scoring, 3 points behind Bergeron, same game as played. What an absolute signing trade by Don Sweeney this past offseason. Zacha for Holla. What an addition he's been to the team this year. Even when he wasn't scoring this year, his play has just been excellent. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can put him in a ton of different situations, and he complements a lot of the guys that he plays with on this team.
Yeah, and when you see shots like that first goal tonight, or the one-timer goal he had against, I think it was Philly, it's like, man, if he starts shooting more too and making use of that shot more, like, now the goal total starts to go up, which it has recently, to your point, 6 goals in the last 9 games. Like, the playmaking and everything else about his two-way play was already there. So now, if the goal scoring starts following, it's like, yeah, like, that now that is not just a player who looks like a top 6 forward, but now one who's putting up the numbers of a top 6 forward. And obviously he's been a really good fit on that check line with Krejci and Pastrnak, which wasn't together to start the game tonight, but then gets put together and puts up, they were all on the ice for the last goal, him and Krejci out there for the 4-on-4. But yeah, I mean, that 4-on-4 goal, like, just great possession. At some point, opponents are going to realize, like, if you give the Bruins that high cycle play where one guy kind of loops out of the zone and then picks the puck back up, like, they're going to kill you. And I know teams don't like to pressure out that high on 4-on-4, but like, the Bruins are making teams pay for that. They've done that a few times now where They get that movement out high, and it's a guy who kind of cycles out of the zone and then comes back in with speed. And in this case, it's Zaka who then makes that cutback move. So they're kind of finding that soft spot in the way teams defend at 4-4 and really taking advantage of it.
Yeah, and another thing that I had put in my notes, like right as the game started, we're talking about before, you know, 10 minutes in or whatnot, before anybody scored, was Zaka. Like, it just popped in my mind because I'm watching him in the first period set people up. He set up Hall. He set up that one, that chance by Carlo I had mentioned earlier, the other time he stepped up in the offense before he scored. He played well with Coyle, like on the second power play unit. He fits in with, you know, those guys that are normally on the third line. He fits in on the check line. He's factored in at not much this season, but he has at times played with Marchand and Bergeron. And it's just kind of like, where can't you put him? He's been able to adapt. And I think that's just because he came in with a mindset that I'm going to like make myself fit wherever I have to fit. I can play wing. I can play center. And he's all of a sudden just setting up. Everyone just kind of seems like he's on that wavelength with guys that he's not even really playing much time with on the same line, like Charlie Coyle. And with Hall on his line today, he was able to set him up early for what looked like maybe it could have been or should have been a goal. So I've liked his game, and the shot was just like, that was an incredible shot bar down. And then he comes back and scores another one later on what was pretty much a layup. But he's making himself known. And because of those two goals, the Bruins end up with a comfortable lead.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because going into the season, Scott made a comment and he wasn't alone. I mean, I echoed it. Bridget, you echoed it. A lot of people were echoing this sentiment that the prospect of a line with David Krejci, David Pastrnak, and Taylor Hall could be the potentially the best line in the NHL. And all of a sudden, there was a I don't know if it was when Hall got hurt in a preseason game, but that preseason game at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers, they put that check line together for the first time. And they had instant chemistry, and it kind of jumped off the page. And I remember then thinking, this could be interesting. I could see Taylor Hall losing a spot. And then as the year got underway, it was kind of a conversation because they played that check line together more and more. And it was kind of like, well, maybe they're just trying to balance out the lines a little bit. And, you know, Hall, this is when Hall first went down to the third line, right? And the conversation was, well, Hall's not a third line player. He'll go back to the top six at some point. And somewhere along the way, it's just, it's been undeniable the chemistry that they have. And they look a lot better when they're together than when Taylor Hall's with Pastrnak and Krejci. And I'm just a huge fan of Zaka. You know who he kind of reminds me of? I don't know if it's a perfect comparison, but one former Bruin that comes to mind. Now Zaka's got like 3 inches on this player, but his hands, his shot, and his IQ kind of reminds me of Riley Smith. Do you see a little bit of that by any chance, Scott, Bridget?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad comparison at all.
Both 18, too. Both number 18.
Yeah, also true.
That's true.
But yeah, definitely in terms of just the smart two-way play, like being good in their own zone, you know, good playmaker. And, you know, I think Zaka, if he takes advantage of his shot more, I think can be an even better finisher.
And he's got a stronger shot.
Yeah, although Riley Smith like was he could be a pretty good finisher too. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good comparison. I was just looking, quick trip to a stats corner.
Here we go.
5-on-5 scoring for the Bruins this season. Pastrnak number 1, 35 5-on-5 points. 2, David Krejci, 29. 3, Pavel Zaka, 28. Then it's a drop down. Taylor Hall, 23. Coyle 22, Bergeron 21, Marchand 20. But yeah, so just kind of highlighting the way that check line's been playing at 5-on-5. And, you know, it wasn't, I feel like it was maybe like a month and a half ago. It wasn't that long ago that we were talking about how we wanted a little bit more. There would be flashes, but, you know, there was still like stretches of time when that line was kind of breaking even at 5-on-5. After Wednesday night, their goal difference on the season now, 19-11. And I feel like, again, probably like a month and a half ago, that was right around 50%. So they've really picked it up and been on a roll here. And, you know, obviously you see that just watching it, but now, you know, numbers also really backing it up.
Yeah, and I don't want to gloss over Pastrnak because, I mean, we're spending a lot of time on Zacha, and rightfully so. But Pastrnak did have that one play where he deked out two defenders, and I the only reason it wasn't a goal is because it was rolling kind of weird and might have bounced down him at the last second, but like I feel like usually he would have put it in. He was in behind two guys, and it was one of those elite moves that he made. But he was named the NHL second star of the month, so he's still looking good, even though he got the one assist but didn't end up scoring. He was very, very close.
Yeah, that was like a pond hockey move when you know, flips the puck by I think it was Morgan Riley, and yeah, the puck was on edge a little bit, so kind of some tough luck there. But yeah, I mean, he was better tonight.